I always have something in the works. I'm always writing a blog post. I've got two other books that I'm working on, and I'll never stop doing it. I'll never stop being who I've always been, and I'll never forget those processes that I learned and that the things that, you know, you can call them hobbies. I won't let go of them. I'll always make them a part of me.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 87 with author and host of Me, Myself, and I Radio, Anthony Hayes.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another edition of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Thank you for dropping in today. My name is JC Preston. I'm your host, and in this session, I'm with the founder of Enthusiastic Clay, Clay Green. We're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people create their own personal freedom. And in this podcast, released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle you're proud of. This session is powered by Namecheap. Yesterday, I got an email from Namecheap telling me something was up, and it was nothing big, just that my WhoisGuard was going to expire for one of my domains, and it was an entire 2 weeks out from when it was actually going to happen. I was actually kind of thrilled that I got that email because, you know, I've mentioned in the past that with my experience with other providers, that my biggest problem with a lot of them was that I was never told ahead of time when something was going to be charged. And when I found out that my WhoisGuard was going to expire, I simply logged on, added what I need to do in my cart, and added also a one-year renewal for the domain, and boom, I was done. And by the way, re-registering that domain only cost me $12, less than half of what I've been charged in the past to renew other domains with other companies. Again, this was including the cost of WhoisGuard, which keeps your identity safe on the web. You know, kind of a no-brainer for me. And you guys should definitely check it out. Remember, if you want to have an inexpensive way to register your domains, try out Namecheap. And if you visit newinceptions.com/Namecheap today, you'll get peace of mind knowing you have WhoisGuard for your first year at no additional charge. Again, that's newinceptions.com/Namecheap. Okay, now today's guest is a really cool guy that I'm glad that you guys are going to get a chance to hear from. Someone that I've been wanting to have on the show for quite a while and finally got him on. Anthony Hayes is a founder of the Podcast Discovery Center, and he's the other one was Scott Doucette, who I had on the show back in session 80. You know, I guess you could say he's the more emotional leader of the community. And a little bit of a background with Anthony is that in 2004, he found himself in the middle of a deep depression, and he eventually worked his way out through what he calls the M5 strategy. And since then, he's also wrote a book about his experience and is the host of the Me, Myself, and I Radio podcast. In this conversation, Clay and I jump right into how he knew he was depressed, how he keeps from dropping back down into that trough, as we'll be calling it in the show, and the purpose behind the work he does today. You know, I just want to warn you guys that this conversation jumps in real deep, real quick. And it's necessary that we start there because that's where Anthony found his spark in being a creative. That said, be sure to check out the show notes at newinceptions.com/87. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm JC, he's Clay, and the last time I had you on, Clay, you were still doing the weekly traveling, going from point to point, state to state, and for you, things have changed quite a bit, man. And in fact, essentially the day that I published our chat from your silver edition, I found out that you were out living your life, and then you had a pretty severe accident, and yeah, that's kind of an understatement. It's put you back a little bit, and kind of curious, how's that's going?
Well, I'm not really. The traveling was weekly because of the schedule that we had. So we never really intended it to be weekly traveling. We intended it to be, we're going to go hang out in a really cool place for a while. And where we ended up was Salt Lake City, and we were snowboarding. Tara and I were snowboarding and enjoying the amazing Utah snow for the first time in my life. And I got to tell you, there's something about it. There's a lot of powder out here. And yeah, I bounced into a tree. Long story short, I'm laid up for about 3 months. I can't put weight on my left leg for 3 months because of pins and plates. And I'm really stoked to talk to our guest today because wrestling with the dramatic lifestyle change. If anybody knows me, my whole thing is enthusiasm, and I am normally bouncing off walls, and it's hard to bounce off wall with one leg. So that's been a major shift. Yeah. So I've been laid up for about a month now, or actually 5 weeks, and literally spending most of my time laying on a bed with my leg up, literally. So yeah, that's how it's going. But hey, I'm staying enthused, and I'm moving forward and keeping going with building my business and the lifestyle that I want to live. And I'm still excited about that. How you doing, JC?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Can't complain too much. Got a lot of... Actually, one of my, the co-hosts that we got going on here recently, and he just... his first one went out with Ryan Mickler, working with a guy by the name of Albert Winks that I don't think I've introduced to all of you guys yet. Anyway, but yeah, definitely looking forward to your recovery. And yeah, today's guest is no stranger to setbacks himself, as you were saying. And, you know, his journey of where he is now started in 2004. And when, you know, really overwhelming wave of emotional flatness washed him over. And, you know, the following 10 years became the most trying years of his life, where, you know, he fought depression, you know, he was self-medicating, divorce, you know, this all happened to him by the age of 30. And over that time, he has grown from wanting to die to a life today where he, you know, he's a first-time father, he is an author, podcaster, blogger, and in his book, The Science of Being, you know, it's the ultimate survivor story, as he puts it. And in it, he shares his triumphant journey of overcoming insurmountable odds despite his circumstances. And, you know, regularly he is known again for his podcast where, you know, it's called Me, Myself, and I Radio. And when he's not on the airwaves, he's actually a co-founder of the podcast Discovery Center, which is I've had had Scott Doucette on, who's the co-founder of that group. And
Scott's the Canadian one.
Yes, yes, he is. Yes, he is. But we won't hold it back any longer.
Gotta keep that.
How you doing?
Gotta keep that straight, right, Anthony? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
That's a bad way to get started off.
We're talking about Anthony Hayes here today, guys. That was hilarious. The not Canadian one.
Yeah, this guy is no other than Anthony Hayes. So how you doing to say, man?
So awesome, guys. Yeah. No, great, man. It just every time I talk to somebody and they talk, you know, they say my journey in their own words, in their voice, it actually gives me goosebumps. So I appreciate coming on and being able to share a good, you know, message with your listeners.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's go there. Let's just dive in and get there. Is that cool, guys? Basically, Anthony, I'm stoked. I'm excited because like I talked about my leg and I've injured myself before. And I've been in dips. I'm going to call them troughs of depression. Is that a fair word? Troughs?
Yeah, actually, dips? That's a really accurate word.
Okay, cool. So I've been in those before in my life, and I don't want this to turn into about me. I want to learn about how you deal with it and how you kind of went through it, actually recognizing it. Let's start there. How did You're in this funk, you're in this situation, and you typically don't know it. And I've read a lot of your stuff, or I've read a lot of your blogs, and I've listened to your podcast a little bit, and I've really pulled out a couple key things that resonated with me. But can you share with us how, like, you came to realize, like, there's something wrong? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just like JC was saying back in 2004, right? What was the triggers? Yeah. What were the things that were manifesting in your life that you didn't like or that you recognized were not what you wanted?
Yeah. So it wasn't like one particular instance. It wasn't really anything traumatic. It was like I woke up one day and I wasn't my normal goofy. I've always had like an eccentric personality and very, what's the word? Charismatic, I guess you could say, when it comes to family and friends and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of lost that and I just couldn't really figure out why. And, you know, mental health is something that I think a lot of people aren't aware of that they should be, because everything starts in the brain. Everything, every movement you make, every decision you make. So it's really important to be in tune with those emotions and how to process them properly. And I realized I wasn't able to do that. So I just, you know, I thought, let me call somebody up. And, I called up a doctor friend and he gave me a recommendation. And it was kind of just, it went from there. And it was just a progression of, you know, sitting down, talking about it, talking about the way I was feeling or not feeling, because in some instances you don't have any emotions at all. And it was just a progression to...
Anthony, can we go back?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Recognizing, you said magic words in my mind right there. You recognized something was wrong and you sought help. And you said that it was that basically I agree with everything you're saying, and I'm going to say it a little more bluntly than you did. I feel like we are grossly uneducated on the importance of our minds and things like the chemical balances and the physical stuff. So my question is, can you get like really specific, like your daily life? What was it like? What were you? You said you were charismatic and you were what was the word? You didn't use the word enthusiastic because I was waiting for it. I was like, that's my word. Yeah, you were enthusiastic. But you know, like
all
so,
that,
like
all that good stuff.
Your job, your habits, your hobbies. What was the
exactly?
What was the thing that really like? And then you did say that it was like a switch, and you recognized it, but there wasn't one thing. So it's like the way you described that was really vague. I'm like, let's get nitty gritty with it. Like,
okay, we can.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I love this. So basically, you touched on a lot of keywords there. Loss of interest in hobbies. So I point out hobbies there, and these waves of emotion or a lack of emotion, if you will, not being able to process things that you're feeling and show a genuine response to it. Things that were like that for me, they were lasting for days at a time. So normally when you get in a bad mood or you have the blues or something, it's a short wave of emotion that passes over you rather quickly. But when you're laid up in bed for several days at a time because you lack the physical energy to get yourself up because your mind cannot function properly.
Interesting.
That's kind of what happened to me. And that was the series of events that made me realize something was wrong.
So that's going deep. Like, the way that I've grown to recognize in myself is this, the dips, there's dips, that are usually based around energy level. So in the evenings, it's easier for me to get sad or lethargic about something.
Okay, sure. At the end of a long day, I think that's anybody in general.
Right.
But
you're talking about like for days, and you were talking about not
prolonged periods of time. Yeah. 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 That's the depression that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the ones that, you know, you get a bad grade on a test and you're bummed out over it, or you get into a fender bender. Not that that's a bad thing, but that not to take away from getting into a car accident. I'm just talking a little ding and dent. Don't get me we're never flipping cars here, but a little ding and dent, little things like that. Those pass quickly, but I'm talking about the stuff that lasts. Okay. For an extended period of time. And that's what depression is. That's true. When I mean clinical depression, that's when, you don't have control. You don't have emotions. So that's what I was going through.
Can we go there? Like you don't have emotions. I'm trying to wrap my head around that because I find it really hard to grasp, frankly. No emotion.
Have you ever heard the phrase, it's hard, it hurts to smile? By chance? Either of you?
I don't think I have heard that.
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
I'm trying to picture it.
But if you could just imagine, you know, smiling, like I'm smiling right now, right? And you feel that energy, like you perk up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So imagine not being able to do that, and you have to force yourself to smile.
Yeah.
It almost takes a lot of energy to do that. So if you lack the energy, or your mind is just not recepting the information to your cheeks to lift your smile upwards, it actually hurts.
Wow.
To force yourself to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, it did get very bad, but at the end of the day, you know, I just kept pressing forward, and I think the main thing that I'd like people to recognize out there is that if you have emotions, whether you're a guy, a girl, it doesn't matter. You're allowed to cry. You're allowed to laugh. You need to experience those things. And that's exactly what I've been able to do. So,
whereas before you weren't able to, that was kind of like the recognition that like you weren't able to actually process and deal with those emotions.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah. It can get pretty heavy. Are the listeners bummed out? Guys, stay with us. This is going to get great. Hold on. Hang on there, guys.
Everything has a happy ending. This is America. Come on.
Come on, Angles of Latitude podcast. Podcast tribe. Stay with us.
Yeah. Well, real quick, before we change over to the book and how you were actually, you know, writing this stuff up, you know, when I was my first couple of years in college, I was clinically depressed 3 times. And, like, I would get over it. Of course, the first time they gave me medication for it. The second time I went to the psychology department, and then the second time I went to the psych department. Okay. And I can kind of understand what you're saying with the hurt to smile part. Because I mean, it's just for me, because I, you know, school had always come so easy for me, I guess you could say, and that it wasn't suddenly. It was just like, was just like, what is wrong with me? What am I going through? And so it was kind of like kept going around in a circle. It was like, you know, the depression didn't help the grades, bad grades didn't help the depression. And just, it just kept on going and going. And like you said, I mean, it did kind of take something to, you know, to progress through it. But for me, something eventually did kind of snap me out of it, which was a change of major.
sometimes it takes that, but the most important thing is that you're cognizant of those, you know, those feelings and stuff like that.
Awareness, we keep coming back to awareness. Yeah. I love that. So today, are I read a lot of your blog posts, and I love how it's like today your message is still the same, but it feels like you have a much more regimented, much more aware, like here we are back with that word. You're much more aware of yourself and how things show up in your life. So you're probably a lot quicker to do things. How do you manage today versus back then, as far as staying out of that trough, or
I would say for me, distraction is a big thing, and being productive. So that's another reason I'm trying to write.
I'm sorry, Anthony. Hang on. Can I interrupt? That was hilarious. In my work, those two words don't usually say good. Most of the people I work with, like, distractions are bad. Got to be productive. It's like the opposite end of the spectrum, but you literally just put those words together.
Yeah, I know, it's awesome. Crazy, right? So
I'm sorry.
But for me, I don't know. For me, it just works. And what I mean by that is getting, you know, having these hobbies and you know, adopting these things that maybe when you were a kid, maybe you liked to play soccer, okay, for instance. And as you've gotten older, that's something that you don't do anymore because you don't have time or you don't have this or you don't have that. So you can't go to the soccer field every single other, you know, every single week, and you can't make it out there. But if you can make it out there once every other week, and you're still are making an effort. So by sticking with those hobbies and those things like that, you're not losing that sense of identity that you once had. So that's kind of like what I've been trying to delve into, just to, you know, if you can't make a career out of something, it doesn't mean that you have to stop doing it altogether. So I'm using these creative outlets like writing and blogging and podcasting as hobbies to keep myself productive, to learn more things about not only the world, but about myself, and connecting with different people. And networking has been a big thing because, you know, that saying with you're the five people that everybody said, oh, you know, I don't even want to go there because it's so overused cliche.
But true.
Something that I noticed as we've gotten older, it's hard to make friends. I literally have no friends in my community, immediate community around me. So with the advent of technology and podcasting and being able to write and having these hobbies, or when I mean keep myself distracted, I've been able to connect with so many amazing people that I would have never experienced. So I reach out, I find the most positive, most influential people, I bring them into my circle, and I keep, you know, I keep them at arm's reach so that I can lean on them. And if I can ever be of service to them, I can be there for them too.
That's awesome.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love the way you tied the fact that you distract yourself to maintain your productivity. I'm still tripping on that. I love it. And I relate. I totally get it. It's like, I'm a mind guy. I've spent a lot of time studying the brain, and when the brain gets bored with repetition, it gets bored. And that's when I think the troughs, that's when it opens up the opportunity for me. For me personally, I feel myself, if I start getting bored with doing the same thing day in and day out, I can so totally see myself start to dip.
Yeah, you'll do stupid stuff. You'll go get a, you know, you'll go start, grab a couple of beers, you'll go drink, you'll do something that's self-destructive. And I want to keep away from those behaviors because that was a part of my past that I used to give into a lot. And I think a lot of people do have vices. So the most important thing is to replace those habits with more positive ones.
Ooh, I love that. Mm. Yeah, totally, totally. I want to dive into that question real quick, but you know what? I think it'll fall back later. It'll fall in later with the when we talk about your 5 M's, if that's is probably a better place for your daily habits and things like that. I'm very curious about yours, for example. But before we go there, let's dive in more. I want to learn more about your book a little bit real quick. And the big question that I'm like, that's just like pounding on my head was, because I'm working on a book and I've got a book that I'm getting ready to release. And I don't want to answer the question. The question is, was it therapeutic? Was your book therapeutic? Like, was it a passion of love? And it was like, holy cow, once I started this, it just wouldn't stop. And it helped me put things in position and all that. Or was it work?
Or was it like, was the most therapeutic thing I've ever done with my life.
Okay.
And, you know, just learning, first of all, I haven't written anything at length since high school, and I'm sure many people, or college, I'm sure many people are the same way. So just to get back into that routine of reintroducing yourself to literature and the English language and grammar and punctuation, it takes work. So there's a little bit of balance of both things. And then also to be able to get all that stuff out in a understandable format and to flow and to have your chapters and your paragraphs and to have everything flow, the whole process is therapeutic, start to finish. Learning about book marketing and how to self-publish and all these tools, and anybody can publish a book, and I don't say that in that it's a bad thing. I say it is an absolute fantastic thing. It's a great tool that everybody has at their disposal, and more people should take advantage of that. So congratulations. I can't wait to read your book.
Yes. Just gonna leave that one hanging there.
It's a long, drawn out process because we're not conditioned, seasoned writers. So learning a whole different, a whole different world, it does take work. There's a certain regiment to it, and understanding and a constant evaluation of not only yourself, but the process.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad you jumped onto that. That was kind of a follow-up question was with your personality, with the distractions that lead to productivity. I love that. And your personality there. Did you do it like Seth Godin style, where you sit down and you produce every day at the same time for so many hours, or was it more of a spurty thing where you would work?
I'm all over the place, and I'm sure your listeners can kind of get that vibe from me already. I kind of go off on, it's just the way my brain works, I guess, because it's just out of whack. And I don't say that in a bad way. It kind of makes me unique. But I'm a little bit of a little bit at a time guy. So I'll find these pockets of time, maybe 30 minutes on a lunch break or something like that to use. And I'll write, even if it's just a few sentences, a couple of paragraphs, I'll put it into my phone. I'll put it on a sheet of paper. And that's how the whole book thing got started. It was literally pieces of paper. It wasn't even lined paper. It was computer paper. It was so unprofessional. And so I had to go back and take all these pages and make a story out of it. And that was the hardest thing. But when I was doing it, I didn't know I was writing a book. And that was, it took me 10 years to realize that that's what I had.
Oh, wow. So what were you doing? Just journaling?
Pretty much.
Just getting it out.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
That is one of your habits.
Oh, totally.
One of Clay's habits is the journal. So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So, JC, you want to jump in on the podcast stuff? Because I'm so curious about this, too.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, tell me, you said that you kind of go have this how your brain works is that you're kind of all over the place, and that, I guess that kind of makes sense for the name of your podcast being Me, Myself, and I Radio.
Yeah, it's very schizophrenic, isn't it?
yeah.
It's very multiple personality disorder.
I love it.
Which I don't have. I'm just kidding. I don't have that.
Yes, I do. No, you don't. Anyway, but
shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
Tell me a little bit about that, and what's it about? Who's it for? And I mean, how did you even come to that title?
What were we talking about again? I'm just kidding. The podcasting thing for me, and Me, Myself, and I, it kind of happened by accident. During this discovery process I was going through in my own personal life and growing and becoming, the Anthony Hayes, today, the father, the, the 9-to-5 guy, the podcaster, the whatever you want to label me as, I stumbled upon this podcasting thing, and I was genuinely intrigued by it because I have a professional background in DJing. I did it for like 6 years. So getting back into the whole technical thing, it was kind of cool for me. And I found out about this completely by accident, and I just kind of went with it. And that's where the Me, Myself, and I elements come into. It's this progression of self. It's this past, present, and future. So I've taken my podcast along with the evolution of myself. And, that was 3 years ago. I mean, I don't have hundreds of, episodes like I would wish for, but it also goes back to my personality and how I work. I just, mm-hmm. I kind of put out when I can. And for me, it just kind of works. Mm.
Do you have any notable shows that you want to mention right off the bat, or any good ones you can think of?
Oh, definitely the one with Scott Doucette. He's the Canadian guy.
He's the Canadian. Yes. The Canadian. There's there's no other Canadians.
Honestly, though, one of the fun things that I added was like a 5-minute Fridays. So it's like just like a 5-minute episode I'll do, once a week to kind of have a little more bite and a little more zest and content, mm-hmm. easy digestible things. And definitely I had some awesome authors, Marie Lanza. I had a professional UFC fighter in Charlie Brenneman, the Spaniard. You have to call him the Spaniard. That's his, you know, his fighter name. So you got to show him the respect. But yeah, the Spaniard, he was so inspirational. And it's amazing to have this opportunity to be able to talk to these people that you wouldn't normally talk to. I mean, I didn't know you guys from Adam 30 minutes ago. So just being able to sit here with you guys is a great avenue, and podcasting led me to that.
Gotcha. So I agree. Is that the main reason you opted for podcasting, was to kind of use it as a tool, as you were talking about before, to network with people, to meet people, and just really to discuss people and then put it out there as content versus, say, you know, doing your own videos or whatever, which seems to be the big thing today?
It was completely unexpected. I used this as a tool for me to step out of my shell, to become more in tune with myself. And it actually is evolved into meeting and networking. And I didn't know how to do these things before. These are all newly learned tools, interviewing and really being able to formulate my sentences and to be able to spew them out in a reasonable, understandable fashion, which obviously I still have a problem doing.
not so much. You know, that was one of the things I read in one of your older blog posts about how you feel more confident about your writing than your speaking. And yeah, I just want to say now, man, you're rocking it.
Thank you. It serves as a tool. It's just one of those other tools. I'm just learning to, well, first of all, learn how to podcast, and then also the processes involved and talking myself through it and just becoming more, and I really can't think of any other word. Everybody uses this word. It's like the word of the year, authentic. I can't think of any other way to just knowing yourself better. Can we cut that out? I don't even like that word. I'll take it out of the interview. Post. Thank you for editing podcasting. You know, love you. God bless.
Anthony, don't beat up the word. Have you guys read or bumped into Tools of Titans yet? Tim Ferriss's new book.
Yeah.
I saw it. I haven't read it. Yeah.
Oh man. Warning. You pick it up. Like, I've got to like literally limit myself to like 10 minutes a week of reading that thing. It's just so chock full of stuff. But his interview with Carl Shea said that the meaning of life is found after the word cliche. And he went on to explain that, like, you're popping out on that word authentic, and it's the word of the year, and everybody's trying to be more authentic. Well, it's because it's true, right? And the cliches are true. And so that word is
beautiful. Don't you hate it?
I try not to hate things. I try to embrace things.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's absolutely true.
Wow. Totally. Wow. So another thing, you were just talking about Scott Doucette, which, by the way, him being Canadian, you would think would be pronounced Duché, but anyway, he likes to be.
Ooh.
Yeah, just saying.
We're going to have to look into that.
You guys got together to start the Podcast Discovery Center. Curious, you know, he's given his perspective on how the group came to be, but really kind of interested about, you know, why you came on to the group, got it started yourself. You know, what do you feel sets it apart from other podcast groups? And maybe just a little bit about what has led to its success.
I think the main thing that Scott and I saw that it was lacking, well, first of all, Scott won't admit it, but I think he was reluctant to accept my invitation to start this goofy venture that's lasted a year and this loving relationship I have and my obsession with Canada. Because he's honestly, all right, let me tell you why. He's the only Canadian person I've ever known.
Oh.
So I wanna really embrace that culture of his.
Uh-huh.
So it's become kind of like a running joke, but that's what that's all about. If anybody's wondering, we got together and I was just like, yo, Scott, let's, cause we ran in similar circles. I'm like, let's start a podcast group of our own. And I think at first he was kind of like, dude, who are you and why are you messaging me right now? But it evolved into this beautiful thing because there was something other groups were lacking, and it's that sense of community. All the other ones were just groups, and we wanted people to feel like they were in a safe place where they can come, just hang out, and talk shop, talk about podcasting, online media marketing, social network, I mean, whatever. Because those other groups and there's, you know, forums and everything like that, everything is just so cold. And we wanted a place for not only for ourselves to grow, but for us to grow along with other people, other podcasters and entrepreneurs, whatever, you know, authors and things of that nature. So it just, and it's evolved. And every single week, we just try to come up with something new. We try to stay ahead of the curve. And it's just, yeah, it's awesome. And we love you guys.
Right. And we love you as members. But because I've met a lot of different interesting people through there. Chris Ripka being one. Then we also
a whole different story.
Then I also had
love you, buddy. Love you, CJ.
Had Andre on, and so he was session 81.
Andre is awesome, man. Yeah, I love him.
And so yeah, I mean I've met a several cool folks through there. As far as its success goes, I mean, you said that you were kind of staying on top of the trends and all that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, Scott coming from the business side of things, and he's like, you know, kind of interested about, you know, numbers and looking at metrics and sort of things like that. I'm imagining you're more of the emotional side of making sure that everybody's like, you know, jiving and not causing the drama that I tend to see on some groups.
Me and Scott have a very unique relationship in that we balance each other out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's exactly what you're alluding to as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Good deal. And the fact that you're kind of the, I think, especially for people who are new to the group, they tend to see you more than him just because you're the one that's always posting the day-to-day posts. So, like the theme posts.
Yeah, that's something else that we came up with. Just because we want to feel people, and we wanted to have people engaged. So we want people to come check their, you know, their notifications every day. Come, like, come hang out. Let's talk. What's going on in your life? I mean, I don't care. Message me. I mean, we could talk about anything. It doesn't have to be podcasting. But the most important thing is that people are there. They're using their time wisely. They're being productive, and they're staying positive.
Cool. Good deal. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a really very awesome group, and pleasure being a part of it for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's the members that make it. Honestly, Scott and I are just, we're just two guys.
Facilitators. Facilitators. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, but no, it's the members, man. It really is.
I'm really geeking on I'm really geeking. Like, as I step back and I listen to this conversation about the podcast, cause I'm not a podcast pro by any means. I'm ecstatic that JC has invited me here. And I love podcasting or in podcasts, but I'm definitely not ready to be a podcast guy. But, the thing that it's cracking me up as I listen to this conversation, and it's threaded through our whole conversation about kind of self-awareness, becoming more aware of who you are and aware of what's of your processes, like as you're describing your processes versus how, and I compared it to Seth a while back, Seth Godin, you know, or and different people's processes. And it culminates here when you start talking about you and Scott being complementary personalities or perspectives or whatever. And, we use the word authentic, your authentic self, or you use that word. I'm going to like step back from that. It was totally you.
Yeah. Taking that one out. Yeah.
We got to come up with another word. I heard that at so many conferences last year. We're going to coin another term, guys. Hang tight.
Okay. Yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah. But the, it's like the cliche works, man. So I guess we all come up with our own process of growing, I believe, through our lives. And I bumped into yours, and you called it your M5 strategy. And I'm excited to hear how you came up with that, where it started, what it meant to you, and what the 5 M's meant to you when they started, or when you kind of became aware of them, and then the difference then between then and now.
And sure, yeah, absolutely.
For everybody, real quick, his Anthony's 5 M's are, I believe I've got this right, and correct me if I'm wrong: mindfulness, meditation, music, martial arts, and a need for more. Yeah,
exactly.
So,
yeah, I would say it's been a culmination of everything over my entire lifespan, to where just now at the age of 30 something, I was able to actually realize all the tools, tricks, and things that I learned when I was growing up have actually come to mean something. And that stems back to my childhood all throughout my life. And everything that I came back to kind of related. So for me, martial arts, meditation, mindfulness, those three things are, I would say, the biggest, they relate to each other the most. So that would be the core of who I am and who I've been able to become. So just hanging on to that self-discipline, be aware of your physical self and things of that nature. And then as far as music is concerned, I mean, music is a universal language. Mm-hmm. So being able to turn on your favorite song and jam out to it, it can take you some really cool places in your mind, some really, you know, it can invoke amazing emotion. So for music for me has been a excellent way to combat whatever I'm going through in life. You know, if I wanted to get a little pumped up, I'll listen to, you know, some, you know, really poppy or some rock song, and it, you know, you can use that. Anybody can use that as a tool. That's for, you know, at anybody's disposal. And then the need for more would be the need for more knowledge, because after school and college and stuff, it's like we almost stop growing.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So to be able to learn more in the process is kind of, you know, how I've been able personally to evolve as a person.
I love it. So, martial arts is something that obviously has a progression, right? Like, what is it? I'm not that familiar. White belt, ultimately you're like a 10th degree, a third degree black belt or whatever. And they all have a progression there. What would you say your meditation practice? I'm a huge meditation. My three habits are meditation, journaling, and gratitude. That's what I tell people, that's the base. You have to do those things, period. There's just no getting around it.
Absolutely.
So what's the progression of your meditation? Like, what was your meditation practice when you first, how did you discover meditation? Let's go there. It probably was martial arts, I'm guessing. Yeah,
definitely. It definitely stemmed from that. And, you know, just being able to be more aware. I don't want to like get too technical with the terms and things, but, you know, to be able to process the world, you know, for what it is. And I think that's what meditation did for me. And it definitely did stem to from my martial arts training and being able to, you know, take your mind to different places to achieve more physical things in reality.
Whoa. Okay. Let's go. Yeah. No, you said you didn't.
Don't ask me to repeat that, because I just came up
that was
with
gold.
That.
JC, I want that. I want that. Like clip that out for me and send that to me. That was awesome. But go technical, man. You said you didn't want to get too technical. So start. I guess what I'm asking for is people that listen to me, they are people that I interact with, and I try and tell them to meditate. Their first question is, or first statement is, I tried that, didn't get a lot out of it.
They didn't get a lot out of it because they gave up.
Exactly.
And the most important thing is, just like any habit, meditation is a learned process, and it's something that you get better at over time. So something I always recommend to people, especially if they want to get into meditation, is to download a free app called Headspace.
Totally.
And it literally takes 10 minutes. And that's it. That's all you need to get started. So you can start
there.
Or
if they're wanting to go on the more...
Learn from there.
Or if they're wanting to get more on the more expensive side, do what Pat Flynn did with the Muse. $250, but like actually... what it does is it actually pays attention. It pays attention to your mind waves. And then you can hear like either a lot of chaos or just like the waves, right? And
I've got
that for me is, yeah.
That's it sounds cool. Interesting, but to me, it sounds like a gimmick. I don't mean to like poo-poo on that, but I don't know. I don't know if I dig it. But hey, man, you got to try it. That's the thing. You have to let it evolve into what it's eventually going to become. So whatever you meditation practice, whatever mindfulness you work with, you have to evolve it. You have to grow with it.
I love that. That's my, I tell people, you know, even if it's just two breaths, if you said headspace is starting with 10 minutes for a lot of people, that's a big step. So
breathing is so important, isn't it?
I sometimes take it down to like, just take two breaths. Can you, when you're in the shower, you know, just take two breaths where you feel the water hit you and you think about your breath. But
yeah,
and I agree 100% with what you're saying about growing it. And I guess that's so when you started meditating, it came from the martial arts. Can you share like a specific practice that you started with? Was it breath? Was it let's get technical a little bit.
Yeah, it was definitely like your traditional, you know, kneeling and a progression of breath and centering yourself from your navel, your physical body and being able to sit to the point where I don't really know how to explain to other, you know, whatever position you're in, like I was kneeling. So to be kneeling, but not kneeling at the same time, to where your feet are numb from sitting on them, okay, but you don't recognize that they're numb.
Sure.
Because you're so into that meditation. You're so into that clear-headedness that nothing else is relevant. So to be able to transcend your physical self, that's the true essence of meditation. Amen. In my own words.
Amen. I'm so with you. I love it, dude. I love it. Thank you, Anthony. So mindfulness, meditation, and basically martial arts and music were a step there and need for more learning. I love it. Thanks for sharing those things with us, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what you got going on? What's coming? What's happening for you in the rest of 2017? Let's look forward. And what are your big ambitions or plans?
Man, I my biggest plan right now is to really try to take everything I've learned over the past couple years and to start funneling those processes in a positive manner for my daughter. Because I have she's 2 years old now, and she's been a part of this whole discovery process.
Way.
If you can't tell. Yeah, just being able to give her something that's going to be a tool for her later on in life. I really want to focus in on that right now. And my family, we're actually getting ready to relocate for work and a great opportunity in Virginia. So I'm looking forward to that venture. But, you know, I always have something in the works. I'm always writing a blog post. I've got two other books that I'm working on. And I'll never stop doing it. I'll never stop being who I've always been. And I'll never forget those processes that I learned and that the things that, you know, you can call them hobbies. I won't let go of them. I'll always make them a part of me.
I love how your big picture why is connected so intimately to your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I was confused at first when you started saying that. I'm like, okay, so you're going to start teaching two-year-olds how to meditate. I was like, how is that going to work?
You're actually not far off. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, so that is, you're talking about directing it at infants.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. She's going to be three. So between now and next year, probably closer to four is when her mind will be more receptive. I'm definitely going to start training her in a little bit of drills and hand-to-hand combat, things like that. I don't mean we're going to spar. I mean, don't get me there, you know, but she's definitely, you know, the sooner you start, the better. So I figure if I can get her on a little bit of a regimen and, you know, also it'll be exercise and things like that, but to just, you know, touch on those little things that are a part of me, if I can give her one small piece of me, I talk about emotions, but I'm getting choked up just talking about this right now in this process and what I just hope for her in the future.
Nice. I love it. I love it. That's staying focused on that big picture. Why? That's so important. I love it. Thank you, Anthony.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So as we're wrapping things up here, let's get on to the rapid fire question segment. And are you ready?
Go. I'm jacked up. I just downed an energy drink. Go, rapid fire.
All right. Let's do this. So who started off easy? Okay. What are your three of your top favorite books that you tell others about? Since we were on the book, you know,
awesome
conversation there.
Yes. I'm getting back into reading because, like I said, it's something that we lose as we get older, you know, because we don't have to. So I chose to start reading again. So right now, my top three books is going to be The Energy Bus, The Overwhelmed Brain, and the one I'm currently reading is What to Say When You Talk to Yourself.
Yes, good one.
So those right now, yeah.
Love that one. What is one thing that you still wish was a thing?
Payphones and beepers.
Really? Yeah. Now I know my reason for saying that, but why would you say that?
Things are just too fast moving. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good thing and a bad thing because it forces us to lose sight of the important things, which are like I alluded to, family and spending time with loved ones and children and things like that. So if we're always so thinking so far in the future, how can we think about the present day? So I think in a time where there was, you know, payphones and pagers as opposed to a cell phone on your hip, I think the world would be a better place. In a certain sense, I think we definitely should have that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of, I guess, inner reflection as much as there once was because there, you know, you're being thrown. There's so much being thrown at you in a given day, and I think people are worse off for that. You know, and another thing that really comes to mind is people like Clay and myself, who, you know, we feel that we are having to, you know, as people that are dependent on content driven business, you know, we feel kind of a need where we're having to compete with all the other content that's out there, which I don't know. I mean, for me, I like to be really good at
Can I stop you right there? Because I think the most important thing that yourself, Clay, and everybody else that's listening, if you are a content creator, business owner, don't compete with everybody else. Compete with yourself. Mm. So don't try to be better than the next guy. Try to be better than you were yesterday. I think that is the most important thing that anybody in any walk of life can really just grasp onto. If you, originality stands alone at the end of the day.
Right. Well, and that's what I was going to say is that for me, I cannot compete with it. So I've just learned how to hone my own craft and, you know, to actually have a certain set of quality that, you know, that I can be proud of is what I was going to be going to that.
So let me see if I can summarize the little conversation that just happened and see if I can encapsulate this all into one word. Like, I don't know, maybe we need to really be our authentic selves.
That is the last time that you're allowed to use that word in 2017.
Oh man, there's too much left in 2017. You can't do that.
Oh yeah. Wow. What is one gift that you like giving others?
Understanding and compassion. Or you said one gift.
One gift.
I'd say compassion.
Why is that?
People need a shoulder to lean on, whether they like to admit it or not. Everybody needs help at times. Everybody needs somebody in their lives, even if it's just for 5 minutes. If you're at work, you deal with the public, you listen to somebody, a customer talk to you for 5 minutes. That 5 minutes to them could mean so much. You have no idea.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm feeling that one. What's here comes another one. What's one thing you believe all high school students must know?
Oh, psychology. Hello.
I'm with you.
Yeah, definitely psychology.
I had a feeling that no matter what you answered, I would agree with. I really like this question. How can someone be a difference maker in their community, Anthony?
Understand that there's different types of personalities. Everybody has different emotions. And you have to be intertwined and aware of those different personality types and those different people that you're going to deal with.
Awesome. Mm. Yes.
What is one thing that you can leave the audience today that'll, you know, something that they can actually take action on today?
I would definitely say to come up with something meaningful to yourself, such as a mantra or something, a keyword, something that you can fall back on every day to keep pressing forward, to keep yourself focused, grounded. For me in particular, it's been a little phrase I put together, and it goes something like this. And you know, everybody can use this if they want. And it's control the controllable. As for the rest, keep on flowing and just be.
Awesome. Well, if people want to reach out to you and, you know, just kind of see what you're up to and or, you know, participate in any of what you're really up to, where can people find you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all over the place, all times of night. If you see my post, I'll like release a blog post like 2 o'clock in the morning. Me, myself, and iRadio.com is my mothership for everything I do. So me, myself, and iRadio.com, you can find out whatever I'm doing, the content, grab the book, and try to make it really easy. Everything is right there on that site, all my social media, everything.
All right. Awesome, man. Well, definitely a pleasure having you on, and looking for more continued great success from you and the PDC for sure.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. I had a great time.
Yeah, it was fun, Anthony. It was awesome meeting you. JC, thank you again, man.
All right, gang, there you have it. You know, Anthony, he's definitely a great guy, and he's really passionate about helping people out. And if you're struggling with depression yourself, feel free to reach out to him. Ways of doing that will be including in the session show notes. You'll be able to find those show notes at newinceptions.com/87. And the show note extras include a couple of videos that Anthony has recently posted to the Podcast Discovery Center. The other two videos that I'll also be including are TEDx presentations about meditation. And the first one is given by a Dr. Kasim Al-Mashat on how meditation actually does help with pain, happiness, and satisfaction. And then the second presentation is given by a dude by the name of Light Watkins. And in it, he debunks 5 of the most common meditation myths and also shows us how we can benefit from a very simple meditation in just about 10 minutes a day. So that's it for today's session. Thanks again for giving us some of your time today. And as you know, we love hearing from you guys. This week, Lupita 007 says, "This podcast is a great combo of all the bigger business self-development podcasts. As entrepreneurs go, that's a good blend to have, a one-stop shop." Thank you so much for your review, Lupita. I'm delighted that you'd compare our little podcast here with some of the larger ones. It's definitely our goal to combine both mindset and actionable steps into our shows, and really appreciate your comment, and I'm glad that we're able to do what we're aiming to do. Remember that you too can leave feedback on the show by leaving a review on our iTunes page. Just go to newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes, and remember, I'll read it when it comes up. If you have any feedback or questions regarding the show or the guests themselves, or maybe you have an idea for a guest, drop us an email via heyguys@newinceptions.com. Or if you want to connect with Anthony directly or any of our past guests, other listeners, or members of the team, but you can do so by going to an AOL networking group on Facebook. And you can find that by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. In next week's episode, Veronica Kieran comes back on the show as one of our new co-hosts. In it, we talk to Marty McEwen, who is known as the Stage Fright Coach. You know, we talked with Marty about how she came up with a stage fright cure, her big career pivot, and how you can get over stage fright yourself. And that one comes out next week. Be sure to like the New Inceptions page on Facebook to get informed when it's released. So yeah, that's pretty much all there is to session 87. Thanks again for joining Clay, Anthony, and myself. And until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.